You're listening to Jason Greger Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles, over 4,500 on the Sonic, over 12,500 on the Tahoe. You won't believe what you can say. Stop in, check it out right now at Lakewood Chev.
Cam Moon, who just called, well, actually not just now, it's over, but he called his 1,500 WHL game earlier this year, was also a player for the Saskatoon Blades, and Struds was mocking his save percentage in his final year.
I was not, Mooner.
A Blade. Mooner, how you doing?
Pretty good. You guys are lighting me up already.
Nope. No, Struds was laughing. He goes, geez, look at Mooner's save percentage here. It's a different time. And I'm like, there's lots of goals, and Struds, you still didn't have any points.
You're right. I didn't mix in enough saves. That is true. I did appreciate whoever drummed up the Ozzy Osbourne before I came on. I like that. Is that Majo?
Oh, that's DJ Maj. He crushes it.
Yeah. Oh,
crushes
God.
It all the time.
My Northeast Edmonton roots really surface to the top when that comes up. Thank you.
Mooner, we've had the WHL week, a lot of different topics. I want to get you on because obviously as a player, you were in the league for a long time. You've been around the league over 1,500 games now, calling for the Red Deer Rebels. You've seen a lot. But I want to go back to today we're focusing a little bit on billets. Who is your billet in Saskatoon, and how much did they enhance your WHL experience?
Oh, I had the best billets ever. I had Oral and Faye Brisbois, and I had played Junior A with their son in the Saskatchewan Junior League in Nipawin. I played a year in Nipawin before I went to Saskatoon, and that's where I met their son, Paul. And when I went to the Blades, they weren't a billet before that, and they were like, well, we'll call the Blades and tell them that you can live at our house. It was unbelievable, just unbelievable people. It's the billet is such an understated and important part of a junior hockey player's experience and lifestyle. It's your home away from home. In most cases in junior, it's the first time guys are moving away from home at 16 or 17. And more often than not, you're going to a city that you're not very familiar with. And if you're still in high school, you're now going to a high school you're not familiar with. And the only pals you got are the guys on your team. And that billet family is so important to make that transition that a lot of times we forget about how important that is. And I can't say enough. I still keep in contact with them, and it was an amazing experience.
Well, maybe talk about how it evolves, not just for yourself, but for other people. I mean, you know, you go in there at 16 or 17, to be honest, I think that those kids are babies. Like, they're very young, and it's, you know, hard moving away from home. Then all of a sudden you become a bit, you know, you get a little more confidence. But I think the billets, especially ones who've done it before, they evolve along with the player.
Yo, you're right. Strudge, you bang on. Like, they help mold you as a person more than anything. I mean, it's such an important part of your life. And the hockey is such a small part of it. And yeah, you learn to go to work every day, and you got to bust your butt every day at the rink. Otherwise, you're not going to be there very long and that sort of thing. And I think that's a great life lesson. It's an amazing life lesson. But the life lessons that you learn moving into somebody's house at 16 or 17, and then when you leave at 19 or 20, there's such a transformation in the person. And to me, that's one of the most rewarding things working with the Red Deer Rebels is when I see guys leave at 19 or 20 to move on to either pro hockey or to go to university or college. And if a guy signs a contract, I mean, good for him, and I'm happy for him, and I think that's great. And if you can make your living playing the game, I think that's wonderful. But to me, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the life lessons that you learn while you're there, and the billets are a big part of that. And when I see where guys are at 19 or 20 and what really good human beings they turn into on their way out of the program, and no different in any other WHL program. I mean, I just see it in Red Deer, but I just think it's tremendous. And to me, it's the most rewarding part of the whole job.
Cam Moon joins us, a voice of the Red Deer Rebels, called over 1,500 games, was a former player. You got to know, what's your other title? You like assistant GM now?
Oh, come on. No.
Bus driver.
Yeah, but you're like assistant president or something. Like, you do more than just call the games.
I need binoculars to see the top from where I'm at.
Don't sell yourself short. I like it, though.
That's so
true. It's a good line.
I do media relations, but in Red Deer, there's not a lot of media. So
oh, okay.
It's easy on the relations.
We had Stu McGregor on earlier, and he said, and who has had two tours of duty in the WHL, and from 95 to 98, and now he's back in it, and he said the league is just so much more professional when he was there back, and I'm sure as a player who played in the 90s, you can attest to it, but you look at the WHL, and it's every league's always looking to get better. Do you think that as you see the quality of players, do you think it would make the league better if they, you know, either, and you, even if you split up the five to say if you want €1 and four 20s or €3 and two 20s or whatever, or even five 20s and no Europeans, or do you think it would be more beneficial, Cam, to go back to four 20-year-olds for the WHL and have fewer 16-year-old kids? Because I see a lot of the 16-year-old kids playing on fourth lines in some teams and then being out of the league by 17.
Yeah, no, I like the points you bring up. I would even take it a step further. I wouldn't be against four 20-year-olds per team, although I find some years once pro picks over the 20s, sometimes it depends on the year. You know, some years are real good, some years are bad. But, I mean, some years it's pretty darn thin once pro takes the 20s that they're going to take. I'd rather see less teams, quite honestly. I think 22 is too many. When the OHL has 20 and we have more than them, I don't think that's right. And if you did that, you would have less 16-year-olds just by default. I do like seeing 16-year-olds play AAA midget before they come to our league, unless they're absolute phenoms. And if they're, you know, phenoms that can play top three lines and can contribute from time to time on the PK and the power play, well, then that's fine. But if they're guys that, you're right, are in and out of the lineup at 16, they're probably much better served playing AAA midget wherever the heck they're from. So I just thought, we had, and I don't know how you put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know, like you got 22. I don't know how you get down to less. Like, I'm not sure how that can be done. It feels to me like at times, and again, it is from year to year, because some years are better than others, that it's a bit watered down.
So, you know, you talk about maybe getting a few less teams or a couple less teams. What's the end goal for that, Mooner? For you, would it be to have a better league? I mean, because I guess my concern would be there'd be less opportunity for 40 players to get in and, you know, play, then perhaps use a scholarship after, which is really valuable for many people.
No, that's true. And that is a great point, because you're right. The scholarship program is amazing. For every year they play in the league, they get years of school. But I would just like to see the level of play better. To produce better players, whether they move on to university or to pro. And again, like some years you look and you're like, wow, the level of play is really, really good. And it does kind of fluctuate. But to me, it just seems like 22 might be a bit much for the amount we have coming out of the minor hockey system. And, you know, you only have two imports per team and we don't take import goalies anymore. And yeah, we have done, I think, league-wide a pretty good job of recruiting American players, and we're getting more and better quality players coming from the U.S., which does help our league, and I think that's good. But I would just like to see the level of play a little bit better, that's all.
Yeah, and I appreciate your honesty, Cam. You're a guy who's seen the league a lot, and I agree with you. Sometimes watering down, well, and Struds makes a good point about more scholarships, but if you're handing out scholarships to players that just aren't that good, I don't know if that's necessarily better, because if the players are that good, then they'll find ways. Because I think what happens when it's watered down is you get kids who play for a year and then they're out because they're really not that good, and then you bring in some more 16-year-olds who are better than that 18 or 19-year-old who had played Junior A for a few years, and the team just can't fill out the roster. So, you know, it's not like they're getting 4 years, right? It's only 1 year. So I'm not sure. I think it would just weed out a lot of more one-and-done type of players.
Yeah, I think it probably would. You know, we had a real good expansion there for a while where we were adding teams every year, every second year. And it just seems like it was a little bit too big too fast. But I wouldn't say that that's only selective to the WHL.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, pro was the same, and Junior A has exploded. And I mean, you look at, you know, 20 years ago, how many teams were there in the AJ compared to where they are now? So, I mean, it's no different. And they're in the exact same boat. I think we expanded from pro all the way on down a little bit too fast, because it's not like the minor hockey numbers went through the roof.
No.
Like they haven't.
No. They've gone down, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's become a bit of an elitist sport. And it's sad, but it's kind of true. So, yeah, exactly. The minor hockey numbers, they're not going up. They're going the other way. So, yeah, I don't know what we do. I don't know how we fix it.
You know, when Stu McGregor was on, he talked about professionalism. And one thing, I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I guess the way that they train the kids, and, you know, maybe speak a little bit to the development you've seen as far as off-ice and on-ice skill development and working out since, you know, you posted that 5.03 goals against average with the Saskatoon Blades.
Wow, thanks for throwing the numbers in.
Well, I just I like stats as much as the next guy, Gooner.
Yeah, okay? I do until they pertain to me. Well, thanks for throwing out that very voluptuous 5.03. Boy, I made a few guys' careers when you think about it.
Well, when I saw the number at first, I thought it was the number of shutouts you had that year. And then I was like, hold on, this is different. So, but anyways, please proceed, sir.
Okay. The off-ice has been amazing. And I just look at over the last 15 years, the amount of work that gets put in the diet and the workout programs and the practices, it is extremely professional. And Jesse Wallen, I thought, had one of the best lines when Jesse was coaching the Red Deer Rebels, the former Red Deer Rebel, and he went on to the National Hockey League. And Jesse said, you know, the WHL, everything about it is better than the American Hockey League, except the actual hockey. Like, just everything around it is absolute top shelf. And it is, you know, every franchise in the league does a really good job of making sure that these guys are taken care of on the road and the travel's as good as it can be, because, you know, God knows we're traveling on buses over the frozen tundra over the course of the winter. But that the nutrition's right, that the billets are right, that the school's right, and that their development is right. So I think it's come a long ways. It's always been one of the best training grounds for guys to move on to pro careers. And then if they don't, they can go to CIS schools and take advantage of the scholarship program. Hey, it's turned a 5.03 average into a somewhat productive person in civilization in my case. So, I mean, if that's not a ringing endorsement, I'm not sure what is.
Having been around the league as long as you have now, Mooner, is there one thing that you would like to, now outside of shrinking by a team or two potentially, is there any other rule change, anything in the WHL draft year, whatever, that you think would benefit the league if they changed?
Well, the draft year one does intrigue me. And again, I'm not sure how we turn that one back either. But if they were to be drafted after their 18-year-old year, you know, as it sits now, it's after their 17-year-old year, unless they're after September 15th, and then they get another, you know, year tacked onto it. So then it's after your 18-year-old year. But if it was after your 18-year-old season, I think it would benefit everybody. The only people it wouldn't benefit are those handful of guys that would have the opportunity to go right into the NHL as 18-year-olds. And every year, what is that? You know, two or three guys. It was the only people that would benefit. It would push them back a year from earning a living at a real high level. But I think it would help the NHL teams in that they get another year to look at these guys and a better idea of what they're getting. It would obviously help the junior leagues in that, you know, those top end guys wouldn't be out of your league as 18-year-olds and into the National Hockey League. You know, I guess the rest of them, it's all going to be the same, because your second round NHL pick who's an 18-year-old is going to come back to your league anyway, so it's not changing that much. It does get the clock ticking on when they need to sign them a bit quicker, but you'd probably see, you know, more guys, and I'm guessing you'd probably see more guys that are 20-year-olds come back to major junior that would have an impact that wouldn't go pro quite as early. So it might make the 20-year-old crop from year to year better, which ultimately would make the league better.
And what about the other end of the spectrum? When we're talking about the bottom draft, would you see any issue to maybe push that back a year? Because it seems to me that the other CHL groups, they're at 15, whereas here in the West, we're at 14.
I can see pros and cons to that. The pros to having it after your 15-year-old season, like the OHL does, is you get a longer look at the players and you have a better idea of what you're getting.
The con is when you take them after their 14-year-old season, like the WHL, it gives the player an entire year to kind of figure out if they play as a 16, which again is more of the top end guys, but it gives them an entire year to evaluate that route. If that's what they want to do, it gives the team a year to court that player. It gives the player a year to, you know, get a good idea of the team's program. So I do like that for the player and for the team to have that kind of time. But I really like the idea of, you know, after your 15-year-old season, you got a better idea of, you know, actually what you got. Because, my word, you know, taking kids after their 14-year-old year, I mean, that's not an exact science. We could go on and on and on of players that didn't get taken in the WHL draft that have been incredibly impact players. So, yeah, it's a bit of a there's pros and cons to both sides. I'm not sure what the perfect answer is.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for me. I just look at if the Ontario Hockey League in Quebec, and I understand there's a little bit more travel in the Western Hockey League, no doubt. Those leagues have done it with 15-year-olds on a short term because, as we all know, there's only going to be you have what how many rounds of the WHL draft now? Is it 10 or 11? You're only going to have two of the top two picks usually that are going to be able to play in 4 months anyway.
So yeah, that's right.
All right, it's not like you're turning around all of your draft. Most of those kids don't play till they're 17 later on anyway. So it's still only going to be a very small amount, probably two per team.
Yeah, and probably not the worst thing in the world. I think if you did it that way after their 15-year-old year, I mean, I don't think you're going to upset the apple cart all that much. And you do get another year to look at them and, you know, see the changes in their game. And some guys take off, some plateau, and some drop off a little bit. It gives you a better chance to make a better pick.
Quickly, looking at all the off-season changes, right now on paper, as we are just a month away from training camp, who are your favorites? Is Regina the top dog, or because they've lost so many defensemen, is maybe the chance for them to host going to require them to make a lot of trades?
I think they're still going to have to make some moves because they had enough guys that were good 19s last year that are going to be pros this year that won't be coming back, plus their 20s were quite good. So I think the Regina Pats still have to make some moves, but make no mistake, they're going to be a very good hockey team. Out east, Medicine Hat's going to lose a bit. They're still going to be decent. And Lethbridge, take a little off the top end. They're still going to be pretty good. There'll be some good competition, like throughout the league, quite honestly. But yeah, Regina, when you're hosting, and my God, I saw it a couple of seasons ago in Red Deer when we were hosting, but and the pressure's on to ice the best team you can. They've been building towards it. And as long as they get Sam Steele back from the Anaheim Ducks, if they don't, I mean, that's going to be a real problem. But even, you know, he is a first-round pick. I would expect he'll be back, but, I mean, weirder things have happened. I would have to say Regina's going to have a bit of a leg up on most teams.
Yeah, the Ducks are a team historically that rarely rush guys to the NHL. So I would think that Steele, just strength-wise, will likely be back, which will be great for the Dub and great for Regina. Mooner, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Strads, next time I'll work in my two career assists.
Oh, geez, I love it. I didn't realize.
That's,
I don't want to unload
everything. It's almost
everything.
Like tying a season high for Stretty.
Oh, no. 9 points. I think I had 9 points in junior. Well, you can make fun of my stats next, Mooner.
No, I can't. You were legit.
Jeez, why is everyone being so nice to me today?
What is happening? What is going on here?
Is it my birthday or is it a joke here? Thanks, Mooner.
April
I owe you.
April Fools, I love it. Mooner, have a good one.
Okay, boys, see you later.